Yeah, morning everyone. We have a great half hour with Paul Kent every Thursday. We really enjoy it. G'day, mate.
I'm glad you enjoy it.
We really enjoy it. We really enjoy it.
I'd feel awkward coming in if you didn't.
No. It's still going and going strong. You might want the sleep in, but no, it's great that you come in.
That's good.
We're in that week, mate, aren't we? That lead to next Wednesday where plenty is said, plenty is written. Yep. And obviously we're talking about that loophole and Mick Ennis heading to Coffs.
Or as we call it in New South Wales, the anomaly
rules.
So, look, it's a funny one. I don't know how they're going to handle it. So I think that the way that it should have been handled was, okay, Mick Ennis is allowed to play, but he's not allowed to go into camp until after he served his suspension, which wouldn't allow him back into New South Wales camp until Monday. Mm. Having said that, Greg Bird has been suspended for the whole campaign and has been in camp for both one and two.
Mm. And training.
And training with them, yes. Yeah. But, look, whether it continues to happen, like I said, it's unusual because you've got the incumbent who's injured and you've got the player that's the obvious replacement serving a one-week suspension. Now, the odds of that happening again in the future are quite rare.
Yeah.
It will at some point, and everybody will remember saying, who was that bloke from New South Wales? McGinnis, that was him.
That's right.
And so I'm all go, but look, it is what it is, really.
Yeah.
It's all part of the rich tapestry of Origin. It'll become another one of those great Origin stories like the TBA became and like so many before. It's an interesting one because we were chatting about it maybe yesterday it was, because he's suspended, he's not disqualified. I guess in the world of racing, you know, it's a big difference between whether you're suspended as a jockey, you can still go to track work, you can still play your trade, but you can't be in races. Yeah. And remember Shane Warne? Remember when Shane Warne did the 12 months for drugs? He initially went and was bowling in the nets.
Yeah.
And then there was the hue and cry thing. Oh, hang on.
No, he's got to get out of there, yeah.
So he was actually disqualified, you know, I guess, in racing parlance. Yeah. You know,
everybody on a drug charge is not allowed to participate in the sport in any formal way.
So Mick's only suspended from playing, and they were just, it was fortuitous in a way that the Sharks didn't have a bye this weekend.
Oh, well, that's right.
Otherwise.
Yeah. That's it. You know, yeah,
so Queensland would do exactly the same thing, right? I mean, they're saying,
not Queenslanders. Yeah.
They drafted a bloke from PNG or the UK or.
Well, look, they as you said, they did the original to be announced with Lottie Takiri back in 2002, and they tried it on then. So, look, it is what it.
That's why they're not blowing up Deluxe, because they know that down the track.
Privately, they're not happy though. But that's just, you know what? Suck it up.
I'll tell you what was amazing, and we asked Laurie Daly about it, or we just said gave him the stat. It's the first time that there's been the same team picked for the next back-to-back in 19 years.
Yeah,
and Robbie will probably not make it, but, you know, that's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, but it just shows you that I think primarily the toll it takes on the players. I know when they last did it was 1996, and I remember covering it, and in the last game, so New South Wales in 1996 had the same 17 for all three games.
Mm.
But in the last game, there were some really busted bodies there. And I remember Jim Dimmick particularly really shouldn't have played. Mm. But in an attempt at, that creating a culture, Gould really wanted to pick the same 17. He wanted to make a statement with it. And a couple of players were actually nursed through that game. New South Wales won the series that year too, which made it a little bit more comfortable.
When you're winning, you can pick the same team, and that's always easy then. And I guess that's the broader issue then, and I did quite like that British Lions format last year when they came against the Wallabies and we had the three weekends where we had three consecutive test matches, but everybody, including Laurie Daly, Brad Fittler, everyone associated with Origin, it just can't work in that format because of the brutality and the hostility of the matches. And, they say you'll end up with three being a lesser quality game and the fact that the teams will be irrecognisable because of the toll that the game would take.
Well, that might be the case, but what you sort of lose there, you win back in the Premiership because, as we all hear, they all come out of Origin Series and they're all in a bit of a flat spot for a month because not just physically but emotionally they're in – they're struggling to get up because Origin does take such an emotional toll. But Wayne Bennett's system is the best one that anybody has come up with, whereby you play a Wednesday, then you have 10 days off and play the following Saturday, then you have another 10 days off, play the following Wednesday again. Mm. So you've got two Wednesday nights so you still satisfy the broadcasters, but you've got a Saturday game in between for game two. And by doing that, you still have your 10-day turnaround, but if you did that, you only can suspend the competition for, I think it's 3 weeks. Mm. And what I really like about that idea, and that goes back to your British Lions example there, yep. TK, was one game just rolls straight into the next, and the momentum we've gained out of that first game. So, because right now we'll play an Origin game, and then we sort of, okay, that's over. We all sit back and take a breath, and we lose it for a week, and we don't do anything, and then we start it all up
again.
Yeah. Well, mate, the cities were alive with the Origin. With during that British Lions thing, it was a hell of a circus for 3 weeks.
I like that though. It makes sense to go bang, 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 and it seems to be the magic number. There's 10 days.
Yeah. And what you get out of that system by doing it, one rolling into the next straight away, is can you imagine we're going into game three now and all the hype out of game two and Dave Clemmer out of game that hasn't had a chance to abate.
Mm.
That just rolls straight into the next game. So there is a theory there that it could actually make the game a little bit bigger because all that energy and talk, it doesn't die down at all. No. We just go from straight from one. And what you do is that the conversation then becomes about how the team changes or the tinkering the coaches are going to do. And because it's so immediate, it's almost in response to the previous games. It's there's a lot of little machinations that
I can't wait for it. I can never wait for the next Origin after full-time siren of the one before. You know, it can't come quick enough for me, but I'm out there getting smashed to smithereens. We'll take your thoughts on 13:53:53. All things are on the agenda. And don't forget the text messages for Paul, 0419-767-272. Slats.
Daily Cherry Evans, the pick and stick is not picking and sticking up there.
Look, I've always said that Queensland's loyalty is code for lack of options.
Yeah,
they just don't have the array of players that New South Wales have had in previous years, and because of that, they've really got no choice to pick the same players. And because they have to, well, they say it's because they're being loyal. And what that does is that then generates a positivity around the place and created this myth that Queensland are all just about pick and stick. It's a rubbish thing. This is the perfect example where they've had two players who split hair between them as far as talent goes, slightly different roles, but Daly Cherry Evans was clearly the incumbent, and they've gone with Michael Morgan. So that's in essence is what New South Wales do when one player is not quite pulling it off at Origin level, and we have another player playing in clubland or has played a little bit of bench football for the Blues and has done the job, then they go that way.
Mm.
So it's almost a typical New South Wales response. I think from now on we can always sort of cite this, the Cherry Evans example, as the myth of pick and stick.
Mm.
It's funny when you lose.
Yeah,
you do different. You have different options, don't you? Let's get to the open line. Hello, Pat.
Morning, boys. How you going, Kenny?
Yeah, good, mate.
Hypothetically speaking, moving aside the broadcast deal, I think I've come up with the right solution for Origin.
Okay.
Wanted to maybe get your take on it. Okay. So we move aside the ANZAC test match, just hypothetically, to the end of the year, for the Three Nation or the Four Nation.
Mm-hmm.
We put Origin in between rounds 9, 13 and 17, which gives a four-week buffer for players to go back to the clubland and, try and get rid of their niggly injuries or get their form up or whatnot. At the end of, or the conclusion of each of those rounds, Sunday is the last game. There's no Monday night football. I used to get butterflies in my stomach growing up as a kid, knowing that they were going to name the Maroons or the Blues teams and being excited and getting that info. So maybe on a Sunday game at halftime, they announce the team. So they have a little press conference, or they can even do it on the 6 o'clock news. Now, Origin, obviously, to be played on the weekend after. Now, not just Origin. I was thinking of having a second-tier comp at the same time. A four-tier comp where you have New South Wales Country, New South Wales City, Queensland Country, Queensland City, and in that way you have the second tier Origin players that can be selected in those teams. So you'll have guys like Dylan Mappa, DCE, Ben Hunt, all playing in those selected teams, and then you have, you know, the Tyson Frizzells and all them in the New South Wales Country and City.
All right. All right, we'll get Paul's thoughts on that. For me, you lose all momentum with rounds 9, 13, 17.
Yeah, look, I think they're a little bit far apart. I was just saying I like the 10-day one where you just roll straight from one game into the next. That's my preferred option. A month apart, I think it's too far apart for Origin. Mm. I think you've basically got to rebuild every game, which I don't like. And I continually get people email me, I've got the solution for Origin. We'll call the weekend footy off. Friday night we'll play Tonga and Samoa. Saturday afternoon we'll play New South Wales residents against Queensland residents. Sunday it'll be City Country. No one wants, I think, second-tier football. Some people will argue with me, but I just can't see the TVs going for a City Country game and a Samoa Tonga game. It just doesn't rate what people believe it does. And because of that, I think we've still got to stick with our NRL football.
Matt, thanks for waiting, mate. Go for it.
G'day, boys.
G'day.
Long time listener. First time caller. Had to let that out.
Good on you, Matt.
No worries. Listen, guys, I've just noticed a few things in the rugby league at the moment with the obstruction and so on and so on. Mm. I think I might have a solution for it.
Okay.
The person that I don't think anyone should be in front of the ball within 10 metres of the ball. I think it's pretty simple. I think it was in the rules all along. If you notice these days, you've got all these runners in the line. They're within 10 metres of the ball and they're actually in front of the ball.
Yeah, look, the problem you're going to have with that, Matt, is people are going to say, is he 10 metres or was he 9 metres or is he 11 metres? And we're just shifting our point of argument, essentially, because people will be arguing whether he was really 10 metres. People will be trying to get, pull people within that 10 metre radius to try and argue that he should have been offside. So therefore, it's no try. And the other thing you'll have is people will actually say, mate, he's 10 metres away. He had nothing to do with the play. Why should we stop the try because of that?
Yep.
So while it maybe is a solution, I tend to think it just changes our point of argument is.
Good on you, Matt. Thank you for that. Scoop. Good morning, Scoop.
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. Just a bit of a – we were just talking earlier about players and that sort of stuff with notoriety and bad behaviour. I've just got a bit of a theory that we kind of reward bad behaviour in terms of, like, if you look at most media personalities these days, they've all been on their second, third, fourth chance. And then all of a sudden they get a hot little gig with, Triple M or Channel 9 or even some radio stations. Kenny, what's your thoughts? You know, do you think that if I was like a player manager with a player going, you know, his career's near the end of his time, I'd say, mate, go and do something wrong because we need that sort of, you know, personal story, you know, that redemption story that we can...
We need characters.
We can play.
Exactly. We love redemption in rugby league.
Oh, we do, certainly. So, you know, and there's plenty of examples like Wendell Saylor and Mark Guy, the Johns brothers, you know, Michael Slater there a little bit, you could say. but, you know, there's not many... I've got to say, there's not many clean skins these days other than Terry Kennedy and probably Peter Sterling.
Oh, yeah. Don't believe that.
You be quiet.
Yeah, look, you're right, but... What people are looking for in media are interesting people, and generally the clean skins, as you call them, are pretty boring. So it's as simple as that. And look, I sort of sympathise with Nick Kyrgios a little
Benny
bit.
Poor old Benny Eichen, your co-host, mate.
World's most boring man.
Butter wouldn't melt in his mouth.
Yeah, that's true. But that's just – look – everywhere in life, what we look at is the extreme personalities. They're the interesting people. Mm. They're the people that push things to the edge. And I heard you guys talking about Kyrgios before the debate over him and whether he's done the right thing. To sit out on a hot tennis court for 6 hours and hit a tennis ball, you can't be normal. Mm. You know? you just can't.
It's like the swimming.
It's like the swimmers. You've got the head in that water long. It waterlogs their brain. So, I don't know the answer because you're right. We do want our clean skins and we want everybody to sort of it's got that wholesome image. But by the same token, yeah, we want interesting people, and the interesting people generally just put their toes over the line sometimes. So I just think it's like all of life where occasionally we've got to cop it. If you step out of line, you've got to cop a rap over the knuckles. You've got to expect that. And at the same token, for the rest of us, when people do that, we've got to understand, look, he made a blue, but that doesn't mean that we just have to define that person for the rest of their life by that one mistake, because we all make mistakes and we all change.
Yep. Good on you. Well done, Scoop. It was certainly a topical point. What's this one coming from Tez? He's Wayne Bennett, Ben Eichen's uncle. Last night on NRL 360, Kenny said, to be a Queenslander, you've got to marry your cousin, Tez.
Yeah, might be fair call, Tez. Might be fair call.
It's an interesting one with Kyrgios. We don't want any more beige in the world of sport, do we? But
No, but it's a fine line.
We don't want him being an absolute prat either.
Mate, it's a fine line. I don't think he did a lot wrong in the game last night. Hello, Anthony.
Top of the morning to you boys.
Anthony.
Kenny, the little master. Good morning.
Good morning.
Jeez, I thought that was Clive Churchill.
Typical NRL, unfortunately, when something's good, we have to change it. Origin blockbuster, that's been going great since, what, 82?
Yep.
It's got ratings, it's killing it. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it's boring as bat poo when there's only a limited round due to Origin. 3 games in 30 days wouldn't cut it for me.
Yeah.
And I don't remember Wayne Bennett whinging about State of Origin when he was at Newcastle.
He had an opportunity there, didn't he? Look, you're right, but the point is, with the game becoming more and more explosive, it's taking more of an impact and taking more of a toll on the players with the impact that's in each game. So what the players are now doing, they're going back, and they're pretty much going back busted. And we're starting to see this trend in Origin right now whereby players are saving themselves from club football to play Origin. They realise they've probably got one game in them, so they're pulling out of their club game to play Origin, and that's a concern. And you can understand that for a whole host of reasons. It's such a big game to play. It's such a big part of your career to say how many Origin games you've played. Plus, you also get $30,000 to play the game. So there's various motivations there to do that. Mm. But that doesn't mean the situation's changing. Look, the other thing you've got to remember too is over the history of Origin, we've played Origin on every night except Saturday night, I think.
Yes.
Throughout the 35 years now that we've been playing it. So we have changed it in the past. Wednesday's been settled on because that's always been considered the best time for television. So maybe we need to rethink it a little bit.
Good on you, mate. We've run out of time. Look, there you are on the TV. There you are in real life.
I'm everywhere.
Thanks for coming.
You're everywhere.
Paul Kent, we thank you.